Okay, tonight, Bezat Hashem, we're going to be starting our third and hopefully last shir on Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos before moving on next week to a different topic in Hilchos Shabbos. So tonight, I want to follow up with what we've discussed over the previous past 2 weeks and try and see other sugyos that come up, importantly, that are related to Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos. Can you hear me? Awesome. Okay, the first one is going to be a small topic, but it kicks into what we've been discussing previously. And that's, right, we discussed whether or not there's Kabbalah Shabbos with or with Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos. The question is, if I lit, am I allowed to eat or drink? Right? We know that there's a chiyuv of Kiddush, and generally you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush, correct? But the question then is going to be, as we discussed previously, what is the chiyuv after Hadlaka? Am I going to say that on one hand, we know that we're Mekabel Shabbos at Shkia. We light early as like a Tosefet Shabbos Midioraita Derabanan Machloket Rishonim Lisugyan and Yuma, I believe, on Daf Pei Tet. How far do we go when it comes to what level, when exactly are we going to be Mekabel Shabbos or not? That's going to be a discussion there. Then we have to say, maybe it's a din of when the Tzibor is Mekabel Shabbos, right? When they say Baruch Hu and Shul. So what's going to be the din, the halacha, if you lit candles, and now you're really thirsty, or you're hungry, you want to eat, you want to drink. Are you allowed to or not? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us that there's an Isser Derabanan to eat before Kiddush. But if you once you're Mekabel Shabbos, then you can't eat or drink, right? Even though it's only Isser Derabanan. Vafilu lo kibel alav Shabbos behedya. Even though I didn't purposely, I wasn't Mekabel Shabbos, I lit candles. I didn't think about twice, right? We discussed last week. I'm on different pages than you. It's la'achila v'shtia la'achar adlaka. Mine. For me, it's page 19, but that does not cross over. They're different, as in, mine just have some notes on it, but it's a different page numbering. Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us there's an Isser Derabanan to eat before Kiddush, because we have a Chiyuv Kiddush. And that is Chal immediately when Shabbos ends. And even if you were not Mekabel Shabbos yet, then the minute, right, the Tzibor is Mekabel Shabbos, then it's going to be a problem. This is going to be a discussion on, like, a community that has people doing early Shabbos or late Shabbos in the summer. Or, you know, people who are in camp, lots of different situations. What's going to be considered the Tzibor is Mekabel Shabbos? That has ramifications in a lot of instances. The Mishnah Berurah says, it's a derabanan to eat before Kiddush, even when you've yet to be Mekabel Shabbos, but the Tzibor has. The Ksoda Shulchan tells us that as a result, if a woman lit candles before Shkia, but she's very thirsty, and, right, Shari, she's standing there, and she's like, I'm really, really thirsty. Either I can drink, or I could light. And I'm afraid if I drink first, I'm going to miss Shkia. It's going to be too late for me to light. So she lights. The Ksoda Shulchan then says, you're allowed to then drink afterwards, because that's a tanai v'makom tzorach, right? Last week we discussed when does a tanai work, when does a tanai not work, what conditions can one stipulate or not in order to then say I'm going to do X after I light. So he says, it's called tzorach, you're really thirsty, you're exhausted, you've been running around all day, cooking, cleaning, getting ready for Shabbos, all the hachanos they have to do, and now all of a sudden you're very thirsty, you know, you feel like you're going to pass out, so that's a tanai that's going to work, like Ksoda Shulchan says. Rav Avadia takes it a step further and says, once you've lit, even if you didn't write, the Ksoda Shulchan limits the heter to a situation when I was thirsty when I lit. So then I had a tanai in my mind when I lit that I can. Rav Avadia takes it a few steps further. It should be noted, Rav Avadia follows its Lishitaso as well as for the Shita of the Beit Yosef, that you're not Mekabel Shabbos with Hadlaka. He says, even if I lit and then I got thirsty afterwards, he says, you're allowed to drink water, tea, or coffee. Right? Not just water. He says you can also have tea or coffee. That's Rav Avadia Shita. And Rav Avadia even says you can do that even if you're Ashkenazi. That's also part of Rav Avadia Shita. Rav Avadia strongly believed that all of his psakim and the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is binding for Ashkenazim as well. How that works, why that works, etc. Is an interesting discussion. How could, you know, Rav Avadia decide that his psak is going to be binding not only for Sephardim but for Ashkenazim? Different discussion, not for now, but Rav Avadia says that even would apply for Ashkenazim. And the Mishnah Shabbat, Rav Zander says that if a woman's Mekabel Shabbos with the candle lighting, really she's not allowed to eat or drink until after she hears Kiddush. But he says if you're really, really thirsty and you think that, you know, you're not going to make it, you're just going to pass out, you're so tired, you're so thirsty, you're really not feeling well. So he says you're allowed to drink water until Shkia. And he says if, you know, there's a real, real need, Bishat Sorech, there's a real need, then maybe you could even have a cup of tea. So generally we say, in general, this is going to be a situation that we can't eat or drink before Kiddush. That applies at night and during the day. This was actually a very important discussion that came up over the summer when we had lots of minyanim outside. And it was very, very hot out. Are you allowed to drink during Shacharis when you're davening outside? You haven't said Kiddush yet. How does that apply? What about Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos? Many interesting discussions, discussion for a different time. But there were numerous poskim that wrote out long tshuvot discussing the role of the halacha, eating and drinking before Kiddush, and whether or not that's Dioraita, Derabanan, right? Mishmar says Derabanan. Here, how that's going to apply, you know, when we're dealing with shatchak situations like davening outside when it's, you know, 102 degrees outside, or however hot it was different times of the year. So that's really sugya number one. Can I eat or drink after I lit before Shkia? After Shkia, Lekulei Alma, there's really nothing you could do unless it's Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh, then you should probably go to the hospital. Drinking a cup of water is not necessarily going to do it. Okay, the next question we're going to discuss, and this is really one of the main machlokets we have, is the din of Tosefet Or. Right? What's Tosefet Or? Tosefet Or is going to be the question, right? I make a bracha when I light candles. Why? Because this is going to go back to our Tamei HaMitzvah. Why are we lighting? So we light because we're bringing candle, whether it's Shalom Bayis, whether it's Oneg Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, etc., all the different reasons we brought. But what's going to be the case then if there's other candles lit, right? You guys are having a Shabbaton, and all the girls who are light are lighting in the same spot. So you've got 10 girls lighting in the exact same spot. So the first girl, Lekulei Alma, can light, can make a bracha. Why should the second, third, or fourth, let alone the 10th person, make a bracha? What did you do? Right? Your candle didn't bring more light. There's no more light that you're not going to trip, or that it's going to be a better environment, it'll be easier to learn from, whatever situation, right? The chuchani there. Many different things we've discussed. So when and why should I ever be able to make a bracha if there's Tosefet Or? How does that apply with electrical lights? If I lit a candle in here right now, would it make any difference to the amount of light that's in this room? L'chor or not? I think we'd all agree, we'd be hard-pressed to assume, that lighting a candle, two or even seven, would add more light into the room right now. So that's going to be the discussion. What's going to be the halacha when you're not the sole person lighting, numerous people are lighting together? And then, are you going to be allowed to make a bracha on that halakha? L'kulei Alma, you can light. It's a question of whether or not you can make a bracha on the halakha. That's going to be a question that I assume is very common. What do you guys do on in Shabbos? What do you guys, where do people light? What? In the base medrash, in the apartment. And everyone lights in the same spot. So that's a prime example of our discussion. You said this year there's no Sephardim, nachon?
There's one.
Oh, so the one Sephardi, she's the one that needs to know this. We'll see that in a second. Yeah, you had a question before we start?
No, so, I mean, I'm just wondering what our situation is like. We don't light, the room that we light in, there's no Sephardim, so there's no Sephardim that we light, it doesn't have light, like it doesn't have...
electricity?
Yeah, but like it's close to the kitchen, which does.
Okay. I don't know. Whatever. You know, for all I know, you're like Rashbi. You live in a cave and sit and learn Torah all day. It's awesome. Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Reish Samech Gimel that if you have two or three balabatim who are eating together in the same place, there's those who say that every single person makes a bracha on their own, right? You have two or three people eating together. They all make a bracha. And then he says, V'yesh Megam Gem Bedavar. There's those who kind of, they say this is a hard, like, they kind of trash this opinion. That's a bad, that's not true. And as a result, the Shulchan Aruch paskins halacha lemaisa v'nachon lizaher b'safik brachot lo yivarech ela echad. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, we have a klal in Hilchos brachos, safik brachot lahaka, right? Just like we say, safik dioraita lechumra, safik derabanan lekula. That's our general principles, yisodos, our fundamentals of halacha. When it comes to sveikot and bracha, we generally paskin safik brachot lahaka. That's going to have ramifications all over. So the Shulchan Aruch says, we have a machloket. When you have two or three people lighting in the same spot, some people say you should make a bracha, some people say you don't make a bracha. So we say, Sefek bracha lahakel, only the first person who lights should make a bracha. So if you have 10 girls lighting in the same exact spot, lav dafka girls, but whatever, You have 10 people lighting Hadlakas Ner Shabbos in the first in the same spot. The Shulchan Aruch would paskin. The first person to light makes the bracha. Everyone else comes, you light, but you don't make a bracha. Psak the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah for Ashkenazim, Rav Moshe Esrulis comes and says, Aval Anu Ein Nohagim Kein. We don't hold like that. The Ramah comes and says, I understand the Shulchan Aruch says that, but that's not the minhag of Ashkenaz. So this is what I said. For Svardim, this is a very, very important sugya. Because for Svardim, it really might be a bracha levatala. Whereas in Ashkenazim, we don't hold like the Shulchan Aruch on this. The Elia Rabba, one of the Gdolei Achronim in Ashkenaz, writes that one can make a bracha on the candles, even if there's many lights. Because, and he proves this. What's his raya? We're standing right now, today, is Zayin Chet Kislev, around Zayin Chet, right? We light Hanukkah candles in Shul, and we make a bracha. But don't we say that Hanukkah candles is a din in like where you're living? No, even for Pirkei Sumei Nisa, we're going to make a bracha in Shul. But we shouldn't. We should light the candles mitzvah pursuing Nisa. But why should I make a bracha? So from there, the Elia Rabbah is medayik that if we could light candles in Shul, then and we make a bracha, then we can. Sorry, it's there as Yom Tov, not Hanukkah. There we'll see Hanukkah. I think in a little bit kicks in. So clearly, in the Shul, when you light the candles in Shul, there are many other candles. Like the Shul is not pitch black Friday night. So why should you be allowed to make a bracha? So from here, the Elia Rabbah says, every single candle that we add brings more light. Every single candle adds a little, makes it a little bit brighter. Even if it's not so noticeable to your eye, every little candle, every extra flame, every light bulb makes a slight difference. And as a result, that is going to be mashpia on the avirah. You're going to get a little bit more hana, right? This room, the like random hanging spots around the back aren't on. If we turn them on, the room would be a little bit brighter. We wouldn't notice it like, wow, it's so bright in here. But we would have a little bit more, it'll be a little bit brighter. It'll have an overall effect. And that's the Pesach of the Elia Rabbah. The Mishnah Berurah writes that similar. He says, with every single extra candle, you're getting more hana, there's more light. And he says, as a result, you're not only adding light, but each candle, it's adding shalom bayis, it's adding simcha, you get more hana. The nooks and crannies, the corners of your room are lit up a little better. So maybe, yeah, if you light a candle right under the chandelier, its effect won't be noticed. But if you light it all a little bit off to the side, you're right. If I were to put a light in that corner over there, the bookshelves, we'd be able to see the bookshelves a little better. But putting a light right over here in the middle of the floor, maybe not. But overall, it adds more light. Yeah. So we're going to get to that. That's going to be part of the discussion. Okay? So the Mishnah Berurah says, every single light that you add does come and add some qualitative benefit. There's some enjoyment, some shalom bayis, some extra light. It's nicer to walk in to a room that has 30 candles lit up all around you than like two little tea lights in the middle of the room. Just like it's nicer if someone were to buy you, you know, a dozen roses. You know what's better than a dozen roses? 3 dozen roses. Right? It's like, wow, that's so much nicer. So too, the more candles, the merrier. Okay. Yeah. So that's what, but maybe it's both. You have like the really nice centerpiece, and then you have like little bunches of two around the room. I don't know. This is just, it's a mashal that I came up with now. Take it or leave it. So the Mishnah Berurah says, we hold like the Ramah, we don't, and the first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, like you make a bracha on Tosefet Or. And then he says, the Magid Avram said in the name of the Shlok Kadosh that really, you, if you have, let's say, one candelabra, right? You, let's say, we light a lot of like candlesticks or tea lights. But what if you had like one of these fancy candelabras? Or you take your leftover Hanukkah menorah and you use it for Shabbos candles because you don't have something else to light in. So your Hanukkah menorah has 8 slots for candles. So you say, you know what? Me and my 2 roommates, we're going to all light in the same Hanukkiah. I'll light 2, we'll leave 1 space open. She'll light 2, we'll leave 1 space open. And then the 3rd roommate will light 2. We're all using the same menorah. We're all using the same candelabra. So the Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Shla, that in that case, then you can't make a bracha. The Shla and the Magen Avraham say, in that case, you really shouldn't make a bracha, because that's really, it's not like you're lighting more candles. It's all in the same candle holder. Even though there's 6 lights instead of 2, because it's in the same body of candle holder, the candelabra, the menorah, then the Shla and the Magen Avraham say you shouldn't. Even if they're coming out of separate branches. But the Mishnah Berurah says there's those who are lenient, and as a result, he also says, if, like, let's say you have really, really poor people who unfortunately can't afford to buy candlesticks. They have a little bit of oil, or they have a little bit of candles, so they only use the one candelabra for the group. The Mishnah Berurah says, in the case of people who are very poor, aniyim, that you for sure can be makel. You don't have to be makbid for the shla. There's room to be makel. And the Mishnah Berurah also then continues and says, if you have multiple rooms that are going to be used, let's say you have the chadar ochel, and you have the living room, you sit on the couch, you play board games, you learn Torah, you have the base medrash, you have your bedroom, etc. There's different rooms that are going to be used, then maybe you should light in the other places, and then you don't have a question of tosefet or, because so long as it's a makom shemishtam shimbo, it's a place that people use, right? People sit on the couch Friday night. People hang out on the couch over Shabbos. So there, you could light up yihalacha. So maybe, the Mishnah Berurah says, it would be better to light in the other places that people are mishtamish bo than just everyone lighting in the chadar ochel or in the dining room, whatever it is. That's what the Mishnah Berurah would say. This is also true. The pshat in the Gemara seems to be that you have to light one candle in every single room. So, you know, that's going to be used. That seems to not be a minhag today, but that's how it brought. The Mishnah Shabbat brings down, and he writes that if you have many, many women who are lighting together in the same place, for Svardim, and this is why I asked, if you have one Svardi in the Midrashah, does she light? Is her minhag to light? So, whatever, regardless, we'll say if you have a lot of people lighting in one spot, if one person is Svardi, she should make sure to light first, because otherwise she can't make a bracha. So if there's one Svardi who's lighting and everyone else is Ashkenazi, so then it's in everyone's best interest. The Svardi girl lights first, then she makes a bracha, and then all the Ashkenazim don't have a problem because Ashkenazim aren't makbid for Tosefet Or. So for Svardim, if you have one Svardi girl, Hodu Lashem Kitov, you know, it works out perfectly, I guess, you know. Then you could say she should light first, she makes a bracha, and then for all the Ashkenazim in the room, it doesn't matter because you're not makbid for Tosefet Or because the Ramah wasn't makabel the Shulchan Aruch. Right? We didn't batskin like that opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. And then he says, for Ashkenazim, every single candle adds shalom bayit, adds hana, adds enjoyment, adds, you know, a little bit of light, makes the room a little bit brighter, and then everyone can make a bracha. And that's the psak of the Ramah, you definitely can. But it should be noted, for some Svardim, the Kafachayim does paskin like the Ramah, but in general, most of our Rambam like Rav Avadia and the Shulchan Aruch, and that's why definitely what to consider for the, you know, the few Svardim should try and be extra makbid to light early before other people come. So now comes to the question that was asked a few minutes ago. Where should one light? Okay, so this is, I really kept it more halakha l'maisa, didn't want to get too much into the whole sugya of the Gemara Rishonim, it's a whole wonderful balagan. So the question above was, what happens if many people lit in the same place? But now we want to discuss, where's the best place to light? And this is going to go back to Tamei Hadlaka. If you're going to say it's a din in Oneg Shabbos, then where should I be lighting? Ideally in the place where I eat, right? The Manda Amar that we said, right? It's if blind people when you can't see, you don't get the same level of Hana. So maybe the best place to light really is your table or your kitchen. But if you're going to say Shemalot Tikasha, like Rashi, then maybe we're going to say, that's the definition of Shalom Bayit. You shouldn't stub your toe and trip and things are going to be upset. So then maybe you really should be lighting in places that don't have other light, right? You have one room without lights, then maybe that for that opinion, would be the best place to light. So Shlomo Zalman actually has a very interesting opinion. And he says, it's come to the point where married women in our generation are so makbid when it comes to Hadlakas Neros that they light no matter what. And as a result, Hadlakas Neros has become a minhag. And it's the halachot of Hadlakas Neros Shabbos don't apply to the same extent, but it's shifted over to the world of minhag. So even if you're in a place where maybe you have Tosefet Or questions, or where's the best place to light or not, maybe I shouldn't be making a bracha in case A, B, or C. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, because it's a minhag, you still would make a bracha. That's going to affect very strongly the idea of Tosefet Or for Ashkenazim, right? Even if you want to be machmir and say, I don't want to light because of Tosefet Or, Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, the minhag has been koveya that Bnos Yisrael are madlik nero Shabbos, and as a result, because it's been said as a minhag, now you make a bracha, not just midin hadlakas nero Shabbos, but midin minhag. And as a result, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, this is exactly like Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, right? It's very odd we make a bracha in Shul, but there's now a minhag in Pirsui Nisa, so we make the bracha. So he says, so too with Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. even in a case where maybe it seems odd, I wouldn't want to make hadlakas nereshet, I wouldn't want to make the bracha, I should. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, it's such an important minhag, I would have thought, if let's say you have a young couple who are or you guys are going away for Shabbos, and you go to a family's house for Shabbos, right? When you go to whomever's house you're trying, I mean, I don't know if you guys are allowed out for Shabbos or if you ever go anywhere, but let's assume you wanted to go to your family, your cousins, the Cohens, in Petach Tikva for Shabbos. So you're going to the Cohens for Shabbos. You're eating all three meals at their house. You're sleeping at their house. That is the definition of your somech al shulchan, all right? You're relying upon them, right? They're your food, they're your home, they're, you know, you go to minyan where they're davening, etc. So in that case, I would have thought, there's no reason for me to light. I'm yotze with the Baal HaSabayit. When the head of the household lights for the family, I'm yotze with her. So that's generally what we say. But Rosh Hashanah says, that in a chinami, that would have been true. But now, Hadlakas Nero Shabbos has a din of minhag. And as a result, even in that case, you would make a bracha. No, not for Sfardim. For Sfardim, they would still have the question of Tosefet Or. But for Ashkenazim, he's saying that's for sure the case. And that's why you should make a bracha no matter what. It's not remotely a bracha of Atala. Even in a case where Maker Adin, you're Pater from Hadlaka. And as a result, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, this would apply, just as we said. This is a room that has electricity all over. Right? There's lights on. I would have thought, I would have had a half. I mean, I shouldn't light Hadlakas near Shabbos. I'm Yotze with the electricity. Right? The main light that I use on Shabbos in this room is not coming from the candles. It's coming from the electric lights, the fluorescent LEDs, whatever it is in here that we're using. That's what we are going to be getting our main enjoyment from. That's going to be doing most of the illuminating. So I shouldn't make a bracha. That would have been true. Elama, minog. We have a minog, we light. And that's why we make a bracha no matter what. And then he says, that's true. And he says, maybe also, you never know, is the electricity going to go on? Is it going to go off? You can't really rely on that. Sometimes it does go off. Today, that's less likely, but it definitely happens before there's blackouts. So for someone who says, maybe the best thing to do would be turn off the electric light, turn off the lights, light candles, turn the lights back on, and then make your bracha. We're going to see there's some debate about what the best thing to do is regarding electricity, but Rav Shlomo Zalman's opinion for that is you should light your candles, flick the light switch, turn it off, light your candles, turn it on, bracha. Rav Avadia writes that hadlaka is due to the Kavod Shabbos, and thus you need to light in the place where you regularly eat or use, such as the living room. But he says, if you are not going to be, if you light in a room that you people never knew, hey, how often do you just like sit in your garage? Right? That's not like a normal thing people do. I mean, unless you do. But, you know, if you have a place in your house that you like, I go into my attic once every few months when I need to like take something out or organize stuff or I have to deal with some of the electrical problems or plumbing issues, etc. Okay? But practically speaking, you don't hang out in your attic very often. So Rav Avadia says, if you make the light in the, so you say, I don't want Tosefet Or, so I'm going to go to the attic where it's pitch black, I'll light a candle, I'll make a bracha, that's not Tosefet Or. Perfect. I'm Yotze for the Shulchan Aruch in Lechatchila. No, that's a bracha of Atala because no one's there. It's not a makom shemishtamshim bo. Okay? The Piskei Tshuva, Rav Rabinowitz says that in the previous generations when they didn't have electricity, then the best place for the guests to light them would be their private room, right? You're staying at your cousins, the Cohens in Petach Tikva, and they give you, here's your bedroom. So you would say, do you mind if I light Hadlakas Neros in my room? Because that's my personal room. I'm going to use it. I'm going to sleep there, etc. So the best place historically would have been to light there because that's your own usage. So this is also a discussion in Sakana. People always don't feel comfortable. You're going to light candles in rooms that people aren't hanging out in all the time. I'm personally less, you know, convinced by those things. Like, I've never seen a tea light that's sitting on, let's say, a piece of tin foil, or you want to be magic, you want to put it in like a tin. I've never seen tea lights walk and fall over without being touched. So if you put it in a responsible place, I'm personally not so worried, but I know plenty of people in places where I've been where they're like, oh my God, no, it's going to be a fire. It's like, fires don't just combust when they're like a little tea light won't automatically explode and turn into a building fire, but I understand why people are hesitant, and definitely not something you should like push. If you're like, host is like, we don't feel comfortable with you lighting in the room, I wouldn't like push that, especially for Ashkenazim, that's for sure. So he says, really the best place would be to light where you're sleeping, because that's your own room, not in the main room. But today, because there's electricity in every room, right, you have a lamp in here, you have one of the Shabbos lamps, you leave on a light, you open the door, there's the light in the hallway that comes into the room. So maybe lighting in the room, there's already light there, because you just open the door from the hall, and then you're good. So he says, Rabinowitz writes in Beis Yeshiva that another option is turn the lights on and off right before candle lighting. And then you have in mind the bracha is for both the candles and the electricity. Right? That's what we do. That's what my wife and I do at home. Before we light the candles, we flick the switches because our Hanah, our Oneg, our Kavod Shabbos is not just the Shabbos candles. Beautiful. The Shabbos candles, the Lechter, are beautiful and it's wonderful. But realistically speaking, I enjoy my food a lot more with the lights on than just with the candles in the corner. That's, you know, realistically speaking, that's what, you know, at least I personally we do at home. And he says, that's so true. And he says, if you have a lot of men who are together, let's say none of their wives are there, you have a, you know, a group of men from the shul are going to Poland or whatever. So in that case, then only one person should light, Rabbeinu told. Unless everyone's going to be lighting in their own private rooms, then that's good too. Now, whoever's ever been to, like, I don't know, I guess you haven't really gone on Shabbatons, but in general, if you ever go to, like, a hotel or a youth hostel for Shabbos, often there's multiple, depending on the place, they have a few options for lighting. Some are better than others. Often because of the fear for fire, most hotels in Israel, at least, they ask everyone to light in the lobby. What's the problem with lighting in the lobby? First, as you said, for Sfaradim Mamish is the Brachal Hotel, that's Tosefet Or. You've got like 300 people from the hotel all lighting in the lobby. What other problems are there? You won't be there. What purpose is the lobby? You walk there, you walk through it. You don't sit in the lobby and like hang out with your friends. You don't sit in the lobby and hang out with your you know. You don't, right? There's no like Tashmish there. They want it, you don't use it. Right, they want it there because someone has to sit at the front desk, so they might as well have them sit at the front desk and watch the candles. So realistically speaking, the best place for hotels, depending on the hotels, they do different things. The best place really for hotels is when they have a table set up in the Chadar Ochel. That's a place where you're going to be eating. Then Lekulei Alma for Ashkenazim, you could light and make a bracha. For Sephardim, you have the Tosefet Or question. Sometimes they have it like the lighting spot in the Chadar Ochel is like in this random corner, like in the back of the kitchen. There you also probably couldn't make a bracha because like no one goes there. You know, when it's like tucked in this little nook that no one sees, it's behind the bathrooms or something like that. That's a problem. It really should be somewhere where you get Hana from. Then it's going to be a question of, can I light in my room? Generally, hotels don't allow you to light in the room. Discussion how much, you know, if the hotel's policy is you can't light in the room, best not to. To do that, but that's going to be a discussion, and you know what the best thing to do is. So a lot of people say is, for Al Peter of Shlomo Zalman, I can make a bracha on the electric light. So what I've done before is when we've gone away for Shabbatons, we've done is turn on the light in the hallway in the room. Right? There's like the little like one light in the room. Turn it on, and Al Peter of Shlomo Zalman, mitzad minog, mitzad hana, mitzad shalom bayit, getting usage from the light. You can make a bracha on that light, even though it's not an actual candle. The Lechatchila thing, they came out with a... The Pesukei Tshuva has a really radical opinion. I spoke to a few Rabbanim about it in the past. All agree that it's a really big chiddush, but I don't know Halacha L'maisa. You can be samech on it, but I personally wouldn't. As he says, what you should do is turn on the light in your room, then walk to the lobby of the hotel without saying anything, but kavana... remembering the light, then light in the lobby on the candle, and then make the bracha on the lobby. So to me, that's kind of, hey, there's going to be a hefsek, right? Then you walk all the way from your room down to the lobby. That's going to, you know, it could, depending on the size of the hotel, the place, that's not, so.
Would you be able to take the elevator?
Yeah, you would be able to take the elevator. Because you haven't really, maybe for, you might say for Sephardim for sure, you could for Ashkenazim, you're right, it's a good question, but even Lechora, you could take the elevator. I'm in my head, I'm just picturing the last Shabbaton I went on where there wasn't an elevator. The last few places I've been for Shabbos, that, yeah. But point is, definitely that's going to be, so that's what he wants to suggest, but not such a positive suggestion. The Chazon Ish writes regarding, you know, people in yeshiva, when you have everyone in yeshiva, and if there's one person who lights for everyone in the Chadar Ochel, so long as there's electricity is in the room, sorry, he says the guys in yeshivas need to light in their rooms, even if someone's lighting in the Chadar Ochel for everyone, and even if there's electricity in the room. That's the opinion of the Chazon Ish. But Rav Eliashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman disagree, and they said if there's electricity in the room, and you have one token guy who is like a shaliach for the entire yeshiva, who it's his job to light in the Chadar Ochel, Rav Eliashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman say you shouldn't light it in your room as well, because you have the tzeruf of someone's lighting but kavana for everyone, like lots of balabatim who are somech on shulchan echad. And you have the idea that you also have the electricity. The Shimon Levi says, you're definitely Yotze with the group lighting, right? You have Shimon, who lights in the Charocho for everybody, or Rivka lights Bekavana for everybody. But the Shimon Levi says, that only works when you heard the bracha yourself. Right, it doesn't work if Rivka goes to the Chadar Ochel 5 minutes before Mincha to light for everyone and no one else is there. How could she light to be motzi everyone else if no one else hurts it? That's the opinion of the Shevet Halevi. And he says, if you didn't hear it, then you need to light on your own. And there's those who also say that it only works to... Rav Yashiv also held, and I know this is the opinion in certain yeshivas, that you can only be Yotze with the one guy who's a shaliach for everyone if you bought the candles with your money. Right, you have to mishtate pruta. If I go out and buy a box of candles, right, I'll spend 20 shekel on a big bag of tea lights for the year. But how can I be motzi everyone else with that? So Rav Yashiv and others are makbid that either every person gives the guy half a shekel, or it's bought from the quote unquote the yeshiva credit card, the seminary's credit card, which is involved with everyone's tuition. So that's coming from the communal fund. That's an idea. As an aside, Machon Somet in Alon Shvut. I don't know if you guys familiar with Machon Somet. Ah, you went there. Okay, great. So they came out with little, I forget what they call them, a Ner Shabbat or something like that. These little candles, it's basically an incandescent light bulb. They're very small, and they get very, very hot. So even for the shittos, right, that it's incandescent, so then even for those that don't say you maybe can't make a bracha on lights, on LEDs, or something like that, because they don't accept the Shlomo Zalman's minag. Once you say it's fluorescent, then you definitely can make a bracha, it heats up, as well as it's battery powered. This is also based on an opinion of Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman said it has to be battery powered because if it's plugged into the wall, that might be a problem of it could either go out immediately or, right, it could stop at any point and then it's as if you didn't actually light something, right? I didn't do a Maisa Hadlaka when I turn on the light because there's continuous current. But when I light a battery is the equivalent of a jug of oil or a candle because there's a finite amount of energy in it. Whereas in the wall, there could be a power outage at any time, and then it's as if I didn't do anything. So this is going to be a discussion for people. It hasn't happened to me, but I know someone who this was something for them. They made a bracha on Hadlakas Neros by turning on the flashlight of their phone. And he told me this afterwards, said, that's a good idea. And then he said, yeah, I left my plug, and I plugged my phone into the wall so it wouldn't go out. He said, oh, once you plug your phone into the wall the whole time, then for Shlomo Zalman, you have a problem. Because maybe the idea that it's plugged into the wall is going to not be as good. Better to not plug it in, so your phone will die. Beseder, Motzei Shabbos, you plug it in. It's not the end of the world. And that's definitely an idea that, you know, Machon Tzom, it was makbid for, it's dafka with the bracha. Sorry, it's dafka with the battery. Questions till now? Things that are relevant either here or have come up on Shabbatones? I'm not in the sugya right now. There is definitely an idea. There's going to be discussion because once you and if you accept Rav Shlomo Zalman's idea of minhag, it doesn't really matter. For Havdalah, people are machalik.
Yeah, no, it's not for Havdalah. We just plug it in and then make a bracha on it in the hotel room and then go downstairs. I'm like, I don't
know. You make the bracha in the hotel room?
Sorry, we make the bracha. I don't remember what point you make the bracha. You go plug it in there and like the hotel lobby, so everyone knows that you're lighting.
So that's like what the Piskei Tshuvot said. Turn on a light in your room, go to the hotel lobby without speaking, no hefsek, right? We walk as like a little family of ducklings, everyone silently, and then we light in the, as in, well, that's not just everyone lighting, it's just your mother lighting, etc.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
As in, if you're speaking, but you're not the one making the bracha, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It's not your hefsek. But that's the Piskei Tshuvot's opinion, which is definitely interesting. Okay. I asked this at a different point. I don't remember. Who here lights? Everyone here is single. No one's married.
I mean, as of yesterday.
Okay, great. I'm making it. I'm asking. That's why I'm asking. So, okay, great. So wait, raise your hand. Who here is no wake to light? Okay. So, okay, awesome. Guys, let's bring it back in for a sec. So now the question is, well, once we've discussed where to light, who lights, where do we make a bracha, what different factors, now we want to discuss this fascinating discussion of, do single women light or not? This is a historically, this was a very much debated topic. So the question is, do I assume that lighting is a din in the... if I want to be like Lumdus for a second, if we want to take a machloket and say, is it a din in Chafetza Gavra? Is it a din that the house has candles lit in it? It's a din in the Chafetza of the house? Or it's on the Gavra? No, you as a person have a chiyuv to light. That's going to be a lot of discussion and debate that's going to have ramifications in different areas. We definitely see married women light and men light when they're on their own. But how do I relate to a single woman? Do I say that a single, non-married woman is going to be... No, it's hadlaka is a special woman mitzvah that was given to the woman. So even if she's single, it doesn't matter. It's a unique mitzvah that women have a special chalak in, as we've discussed. So she should light anyhow. Or do we say no? Rivakot v'adlakat nerot.
What page is
I don't know. 23 on my notes.
It does not
help.
No, it's 12.
12, 23, it's all the same. So... So, point is, that's going to be a discussion. What's going to be the din for the single girls light or not? Based on the room, it seems you said the majority of you guys. Is there anyone here who doesn't light? Oh, so it's not even a majority. All of you guys light. Great.
We're very holy.
What?
We're very holy.
You don't light. Ah, great. We got one Kenai who's like, stick it to him. Okay, great. So the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein writes, that really single women were knowing to light and they make a bracha. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, this is true even if she heard her mother's bracha. Right? I would have thought maybe, this goes back to our question, you have the one Sephardi, the many Ashkenazim. If the daughter who's not married lit first, she can make a bracha. But if her mother lit and made a bracha, and now the daughter is going to light, maybe she shouldn't make a bracha, because she should have kavana, safek bracha lahakel, to be yotze with her mother. The Aruch HaShulchan says, she should have kavana to be yotze, safek bracha lahakel, she won't make her own bracha. The Aruch HaShulchan says, even if she heard her mother's bracha, and she answered amen, she can make her own bracha. But he says, in this case, the best thing to do is that they should all, you know, maybe the girls should light in their bedroom, and not all lighting in the same place. But he says, definitely, if they're lighting in the same way, you have one big candelabra, right? I know... My wife's cousin, her minhag is that she lights the two candles, right? A lot of people have the minhag, they light two candles, Zachar v'Shamor, and they add a candle for every one of their children. So my wife's cousin has, I think it's a really nice minhag, she lights the two candles, and then she invites over each kid, and each kid lights one candle with her, right? So each kid lights, quote unquote, the candle with their mother that's for them. I think it's a beautiful minhag.
Is that into the boys?
I think so. Well, at the time she only had four girls, and their fifth child is like, a year, about like 14 months now. So maybe not, that's a good question now that you ask. But for a while, like they only had girls, so it wasn't a good, yeah. But so in that case, so the Aruch HaShulchan would say, in that case, for sure, the other girls shouldn't make their own bracha, because that's the question we said at the beginning, where you're all lighting, let's say, in one big candelabra. So there would be a problem. But I don't think they use the candelabra anyhow. But if, let's say, you have one fancy, you know, one of these big fancy candelabras with the big two and a lot of branches, one for each kid, then they shouldn't all make bracha. Only one person makes a bracha on the same candelabra. That's for sure going to be the case. Rav Schechter in Mepnini Rav brings a fascinating discussion. Historically, in, I believe it was the 1970s, the Lubavitcher Rebbe made a very big campaign. He made a big push that all single women should light candles starting from age 3 and up. Not from bat mitzvah, from age 3 and up, the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
Why are they single? I mean, Rufy did it. Why are they lighting fires?
Let's leave our questions about Rivka and like age of people getting married in Tanakh out of the picture for a second. But it's a good question. Okay. So maybe you light and they're lighting with, you know, it doesn't mean that they're like the one lighting, but they're part of the, as in, they're part of lighting. Whatever, fire safety is an important aspect of this. You're being mechanech your kids to how to use fire properly. That's a really important thing. You're teaching your kid how to properly use fire. For mitzvot. Gevaldik.
Just for mitzvot.
Okay? Okay? So point is, Lubavitcher Rebbe came out with this whole thing of single girls light from the age of 3 and up. And that was very much contested. Lots of people got very upset with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. This is a bracha levatala. You're telling people to make brachot that are not okay. How can you publicize that little girls should be doing this? That's mamash a bracha levatala, tosefet or etc. Rav Schechter said that he went and asked Rav Soloveitchik about this. And Rav Soloveitchik says, I don't get the big deal. in Brisk. This is what my grandfather, the Dayan, you know, my grandfather Rav Chaim, etc., in Brisk, all the girls lit. This was the minhag in Europe. Why everyone in America and Eretz Yisrael is making a big deal? Lubavitcher Rebbe wants people to light. So Rav Shechter writes, you know, based on Rav Soloveitchik, there's no problem for single girls, even under the age of bat mitzvah, to light hadlakas neros and to make a bruch on it. That's what they did in Europe. And Rav Soloveitchik, that's what Rav Soloveitchik himself did at home. Rav Soloveitchik's daughters lit Shabbos candles. As an aside, once we discuss, we mentioned Rav Soloveitchik in this. Slash, we're not going to mention it now. It's an interesting tangent, but not for now because I want to finish tonight. Rav Avadia Paskins, that really mikra din. There's no chiyah for single girls to light, and he says Sfardim never had a minhag like this. Right? There was a minhag in Europe, as Rav Soloveitchik says, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, but Sfardim never had this minhag. It's not mikra din. It's not a minhag. So he says there's chasidim, aka referring to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who are knowing. But he says it's usher to make a bracha on the lighting. Right? Rav Avadia is like says the Lubavitcher Rebbe is mamish telling people to serve him here. Okay. And he says, even for those single women who do light, they definitely shouldn't make a bracha. They should light at the same time as their mothers and answer amen to their mother's bracha. And that's really what Rav Avadia Paskins. The Pesukei Tshuvot says that if the mother of the house lights, really everyone else is pater. Regardless of that, there's those who are no way to light anyhow, even before they're married. And there's definitely what to rely upon. But really, he says, like Rav Avadia, the best thing to do is not to make your own bracha, but to answer amen to everyone else's. Unless they light in separate rooms, and then they can for sure make their own bracha. But he adds the caveat of, if it's a fire hazard, don't tell everyone to light in different rooms if that means your house is going to go up in flames. Right? That would be irresponsible. The Mishnah Shabbat says the minhag for most single girls is that when they live by their parents, they don't light because they're so mech al shulchan b'alabayit, unless they really don't need a light. But some people have a minhag, and then in that case, for sure they can light. But best to do so in a separate room. And Rav Malavit also says that generally minhag of Chabad is from Gil Chinuch. They do light, but most people can say not. But that's definitely it. I asked Rav Yoel Amital, and he said that for him and for his father, Rav Yehuda Amital Zatzal from the former Shiva of Gush, that their personal family minhag was that the girls did not light. When I asked him about his grandfather of Isser Zalman Meltzer, he said he did not remember. What his grandfather was nifter when he was three, but at least what the family Masorah from Rav Isser Zalman was, but that's definitely something that should do. So now the question's going to be, anyone have questions on just that, different minhagim, or everyone does, you know, what the, I know from my parents, my sister started lighting from their bat mitzvah. I asked my father about that, he's like, it just felt like the right thing to do. Your bat mitzvah, you could light your Shabbos candles. It's like, okay. It's definitely understandable. They're old enough to understand, to have kavana. They're not like a 3-year-old kid, 5-year-old kid. But in a Rishchinach, definitely what to say. So now the question is, what are we going to write? Bamim Adlikim. We say this every single night, Erev Shabbos. What are the things that we use to light candles with? That's the whole second parak of Shabbos, of Masechet Shabbos. And the Gemara says, name of Yishmael, that you should not light with any of the foul-smelling oils. Right? You have things that just smell terrible, right? And you shouldn't light with that because that's not Kavod Shabbos. You're going to light tar coal as your Shabbos candles. Your house is going to smell putrid. That's disgusting. That's going to be horrible. Don't do that. The Chachamim said, no, you can use any type of oil. Whereas Nabi Tarfu and Paskin, no, really, you should only use olive oil. And the Gemara then says, the reason why you shouldn't use something bad is not only that it's going to be a bad smell, but the Gemara in Chaf Hayam and Ben and Masechet Shabbos tells us the reason why you don't use any bad smelling is you're going to light the candles, it's going to smell so bad, you're going to leave, and then you're retroactively, you didn't do anything. If you light, and then you leave the room, and you don't even eat there, you don't have Kavod Shabbos, you don't have Onrei Shabbos, you don't have Shalom Bayis, you just have a really gross smelling room to come back to once the candles are out. So you don't end up, you lose out across the board for everything. The Sefer HaChasidim brings down the story of a man who lived a very, very long life. And the Chachamim came over to him. He was significantly older than everyone else. And they said, what did you do to be Zocha to such a long life? Like, what was your secret to Arichas Yamim? And he said, I never lit fat for Neros Shabbos. I only used olive oil. He never used Shuman, right? The different fats of different animals. He only lit with olive oil. Yeah. We're going to get to that. Well, if it's going to be good, if it's going to be bad, that's going to be subjective. Some people like love scented candles, and some people are like, I absolutely hate scented candles, and I won't come near them. So that's going to be subjective. If for you it's good smelling, that's great. But if your roommate's going to have to leave the room for it, I wouldn't use it. Right, because that's gonna the smell is subjective.
It's my honest promise for her to leave.
Ah, that's a good question.
Not you.
That's a good question, Mamish. That's also gonna be like, yeah. It's like some people love. I don't know. Some people, whoever loves the smell of nail polish.
Sorry.
Nail polish is like one of these like really like some people love the smell of nail polish. Some people hate it. No.
Wait, no.
Because you enjoy the smell or you're trying to get high?
I probably
don't answer the question.
I think I get high by doing that.
So, the Sefer Chasidim basically says there was this really old guy who his secret to Arichas Yamim was... His secret to Arichas Yamim was olive oil. The Rosh Yosef, the Prima Gadim Sefer on Mesechet Shabbos, he says, B'shem Rav Huna, that we said anyone who would light Tadlakas Ner Shabbos, the Zchut, is that you're going to have children who are Talmina Chachamim and Banim Talmina Chachamim. And he says, Bashem the Torah paskins that this is specifically nice candles. And the Bach brought down that this refers to olive oil. And so the Prima Gadim says, he saw people were no egg, that really they should dafka use things that are nice oil. The Mishnah Berurah paskins halacha lemaisa, the best thing is to use is oil that leaves a clear light, right? There's different types of oil that light differently. Canola oil does not light nearly as nicely as olive oil. Neither does, you know, rapeseed oil or, you know. Sort of, not exactly. Lefteeth versus canola. Ayin Hilchos Pesach, whole discussion there. What's what? But, say, they're in the same family, but they're not exactly the same. So that's why no one does call it rapeseed because it's a weird name. So the Mishnah Berurah says you ideally want to have a beautiful light that's going to pull and give off a nice flame. And that's why he says olive oil is the best thing to use. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says olive oil is better than candles. Candles are messy. They're not so clean. But he says wax candles are definitely preferable to like cheap oil, right? The really bad oil that's not going to light nice, they better to use wax candles. Also, he says the reason why he proves this is sometimes with candles, we're not choshesh shemayata that you're gonna move the candle in a way like we're afraid of the Gemara discusses about moving the oil, you know, that we're not afraid of candles, so maybe some candles are gonna be better. The Kavachayim says, B'makom shematzoi shemen zayit yesh li zaher ladlik dafka bo. The Kavachayim says, if you're in a place where you can easily get olive oil, that's the best thing to light with. If you're in a place where you can get olive oil, and you're right, not Hanukkah discussion now, but if you have an easy opportunity to get olive oil to light with, don't cheap out and get the candles. That's what the Kaf HaChaim is saying here. In Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Hanukkah is a different discussion, not for now. Okay? That is definitely a stronger Kepeda. They say the Divros Moshe and Mesechet Shabbos, with Moshe Feinstein Paskins, and there he says in the Shir, that the Mishnah Berurah would agree in our generation that wax candles are actually better than oil. In the Mishnah Berurah generation, the wax candles were not so good. It was like a clump of lard that they stuck a wick in the middle of, and they kind of clumped it together, and it was, you know, that was a candle, right? So today when we have really nice candles that you get candles that last 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours. You know, these beautiful nice candles. Rav Moshe says the Mishnah Berurah would be moted that in our generation that would be better, and that's so too brought down. That's true, is the Chazon Ish, and both the Chazon Ish and the Stipler, the Kilos Yaakov, would light with candles and not olive oil because it would light nicer and better in their generation. The Ktzot HaShulchan writes that the Minhag Eretz Yisrael was to use candles made out of olive oil. Then you're Yotze all the Shitos. You make candles out of olive oil, and then you're Yotze olive oil and the candles, and you kind of win out on both. But he says in Chutzlars, they just use regular candles, and if it's regular candles or olive oil, better to use olive oil. Rav Eliashiv is brought down in the sources in two different places, writes that the Ikra Mitzvah is Dafka to, Mikra Din, you're actually Yotze. Let's go back. Rav Eliashiv himself lit with olive oil, and then with the question of electricity, he says, you are Yotze, the Ikra Mitzvah of Halakha Neirot, by having the electricity turned on. As a result, Rav Eliashiv said, you should make sure to flick the switches before lighting. Right? Rav Shlomo Zalman says, turn them off, light the candles, turn them on, make the bracha. Rav Eliashiv says, just flick it on and off before you light. Rav Avadia says that really, definitely candles that are surrounded by wicks are totally mutter, but the best thing is dafka, the candles of olive oil, that would be the best, or olive oil itself would be better than candles, and also better to flick the light before Shabbos. Rav Melamed also writes, similar in Pnei Halacha, that you really should flick the lights before candle lighting, turn them on and off, And have in mind that the electric lights are part of the bracha, because that's how you get your light, your owning Shabbos, your kavod Shabbos, etc. That is what he says, l'chatchila. But b'dieved, he said, if you didn't turn off the electric lights, we're not going to say that's a chashash bracha l'batala. I would have thought mikra din I was yotzei because the lights are on in the room. But I lit and I made the bracha. Oh no, retroactive, that's a bracha l'batala, because it's already yotzei. But having light on, Rav Laman says, no, b'dieved, that's not true. But definitely l'chatchila, once you try and flip the switches before you light the candles. And if you guys are lighting as a group, I don't think every person goes and flicks the light switches on and off. You know, that's just going to be annoying to everyone. But if, you know, one person before everyone lights as a group, you know, flicks them on and off, or says, you know, we're going to have kavana, that the lights are also part of our hadlaka, that's something that's important as well. One last sugya, and with this we're going to finish up the sugyas of hadlakas Neir Rosh Shabbos, is this discussion about a knas. Has anyone ever heard before that there's a fine if you forget to light?
Yeah, you have to have
it. Right, so this is a very interesting discussion. What happens if there's a week where I forgot to light? So the Maharil, right, Ashkenazi Rishon brings down that a woman forgot to light the candles 1 week, and he said the next week she has to make sure to light another candle every single week for the rest of her life. You forgot to light Shabbos candles 1 week. Every single week for the rest of your life, you need to add another candle. Why? It's a knas. We basically fined you because, right? We gave you a fine because you were pogeying Kavod Shabbos. 1 week you forgot Kavod Shabbos. Oh, you now need to get. You're gonna have a fine the rest of your life because of that. The Derkei Moshe, the Raman, is in his Harot on the Beit Yosef. He says, he quotes this Maril and he says, this is a chumra rachoka. This is like a really big chumra. Like, I don't know where he brings this. Yeah. Both. It's interchangeable. Doesn't really matter. Okay? So, the Drake Moshe says, this is a really big chumra. Adding on another candle for the rest of your life because you forgot that, you know, he says, but if you're machmir for this chumra, then what happens to the minhag of just lighting two candles, Zachor v'Shomer, and now you're going to light three every week? That's going to be a problem. You're going to say, we machmir for this knas, but I'm not going to lose out on the minhag of lighting two candles. So, the Ramah, seemingly the Drake Moshe is not such a fan, but then he says, but the Mordechai says, no. There's no problem of losing out on Zachar v'Shamor, because so long as you have more than two candles, that's fine. You're right, in Echinami, you really shouldn't ever light one Shabbos candle. But to light 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, not a problem. You still have your two for Zachar v'Shamor, and you add it on more, whether it's for your kids, whether it's for, you know, you forgot 1 week and you had a knas. So the Darkin Moshe quotes the Morcha, that's fine. And that's how the Ramah Paskins in his glosses on the Shulchan Aruch, is the apostles like that go to Shri and the Mordechai, that really one is going to be affected by this knas. The Mishnah Berurah continues on this and says that if someone forgot to light, then they need to add a candle every single week. The knas is real. You forgot 1 week, every single week you have to add another candle. Because that's the uniqueness of Kavod Shabbos. Shabbos is so special, something so beautiful, something we care about so much, we love so much, we want to make sure to always remember it. You never want to forget it, and if you forget, even once, then you're going to have to carry that that mistake with you the rest of your life. Because every single week you need to light another candle. And he says, but if you didn't light because you're anus, then the knas doesn't apply. Right, what happens if Shkia comes Friday night, you're in the middle of labor. You didn't light candles because you're in the middle of labor. You're giving birth. Do you need to get a knas? What do you say? You suffer from epilepsy. You're in the middle of having a seizure on the floor in the middle of Shkia. But it's happening. Are you passed out? Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if it's a case of anus, like you're in the middle of giving birth, or you're having a seizure, okay, then the knas is not going to apply because that's called anus, and that's fine. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Aliyah Rabbah and says, this is like a really unfair knas, right? The average person back in the day, right, we see the Gemara asked the question, as we spoke about in the first Shabbos, Nerot Shabbos or Nerot Chanukah Mayadif, right? Which is better? Proof from that is that people couldn't afford to buy extra candles. It's I'm doing one or the other. I can't afford to buy an extra candle to be Yotzei Nerot Shabbos and Nerot Chanukah. So the Aliyah Rabbah says, what? Someone forgets to light 1 week. We're going to force them to spend money to get more candles. They could barely feed their family. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Aliyah Rabbah and says, if you really like can't afford it, add like one extra drop of oil. Right? Instead of lighting an extra candle, add one extra drop in each candle, you're like, because you're being mosa, if you're adding on a little bit more than you generally do, that counts for your kanas. You say, yeah. Or people do this with yahrzeit candles. Yahrzeit candles are always a tricky situation. If, let's say, 2-day yontif, you need to have candle for the second night. A yahrzeit candle is 24 hours. That often doesn't make it a full 24 hours. And then you, like, you know, it goes out an hour before, like, the end of Yom Tov Rishon, before Yom Tov Sheni. So what people often do, different tricks, one is they'll take a tea light, pull out the wick, and either, and be malbisha, and string it on top of the yahrzeit candles. So that gives you the extra 2-3 hours. Or you put a little bit of olive oil or oil on the bottom of the cup, and then that gives you a little bit more. So by adding a little bit more, you know, it's something that could be done. Or, you know, you have, what, one candle that every week you take your, like, peeler and you shave a little bit into it. Or you don't have to use your vegetable peeler. You could use a plastic knife or your fingernail. Yeah, we'll discuss that. I think the next melacha we have on the sheets are to do borer. We'll discuss peelers with borer in a few weeks. So the Pesukei Teshuvah then says that you really do need to add a candle. Like, we do paskin that this knas is real. Every week you add something else. That this is the fine because of Kavod Shabbos. And he says, not only is it a knas, but it's also a kapara. Right? By every week lighting this extra candle, it's not only that you're being fined, or, you know, you have to pay monetarily for your mistake, but that's part of doing tshuva, that's part of kapara. But he says, right, the mishmur of your own is not okay. So what happens if you lit and then the candles blew out right away? Can I supply or doesn't apply? No, doesn't apply. Right, Mefurash, if it blew out right away, that's fine. What if you lit really poor oil, cheap oil? You, like, bought the really garbage oil. You know, the stuff that they, like, take out of your car after, like, and they change the oil in your car. Like, can I have the oil? And, like, you light that. That's definitely, like, under the things that probably smell gross and I wouldn't recommend. Yeah, it probably will explode. I would definitely not recommend it. But let's say you, like, get the really cheap oil. That might be true, but yeah. Okay? So wait a minute, what would you say? You buy really, really cheap oil, and it goes out right away because it's just bad quality. Can I supply or doesn't apply? Does the canal supply or not? What do you guys say?
No. I would say it kind of... Well, I mean, you buy cheap oil.
Yeah. Great. That's what the Pesukei Teshuvah says. Right? It's part of your kavana. Did you know when you bought it that it was really cheap, you know, and you're trying to, like, you know, save a few dollars for your shawarma or whatever else you were trying to get? That's fine. But if you, like, you just bought the oil that was there, or you took the wrong jar by accident from the shelf, then he says, you know, you didn't notice, then you're not going to have to be fine. But if you did it intentionally, yes. But the, right, does the canas apply in a case when the electricity is still on? I lit candles, or I forgot to light candles, but the lights were on. Is the canas going to apply or not? So he says, yeah, the canas still applies because the lights were just on anyhow. It's not like, but if you had set the timer, you had preset the timer on the lights, you set the lights for Shabbos, then, and then you forgot to light, then the knas wouldn't apply because you did your maisa for Kavod Shabbos, you set the lights. That's the opinion of Rav Uzner. Rav Uzner then says, what if the clock in your room was wrong? Right? The clock in the room was 2-3 minutes fast. Oh no, shkia passed, I can't light anymore. Then you go into the kitchen, you ask, oh no, that clock was a few minutes fast because the microwave is the real clock, that one's a few minutes fast, so that I don't always show up late to minyan or to shir or whatever. If your clock's fast and you don't light because you thought it was too late, but that's not true. Really, you could have lit. Can I supply or doesn't apply? Shev, what do you say? Okay.
Let's say doesn't apply. But you didn't light. Like, yeah, you had the intention to light, so that should count for something.
But you didn't light. What do you say? Right. Okay, I hear. So both Rav Uzner says that if your clock is a few minutes fast and you didn't light because you thought it was too late, that's called anus, and you don't have the knas. And both Rav Uzner and Rav Eliashiv said if you got stuck in traffic and as a result you weren't able to light, then in that case, that's called anus as well. You don't have to worry about it. The Shevet HaLevi and the Chuchani also both say, if you preset the timers, as we said, if the lights were set, not that they happen to be on, but you preset them, right? You set the timers, or you turned on, oh, we want this light on for Shabbos, but not that one, etc. Then, so long as you set the lights for Shabbos, the Chuchani and the Shevet HaLevi say that you don't have to. And Rabbi Yashiv also said that even if the lights were off, you set the timer, but you didn't yet turn on the lights, you could be making on the knas doesn't apply. And Shevet HaLevi also adds on that if you go, what happens if you go out, right? I decide I'm going to go on vacation to Hawaii. That's definitely not happening anytime soon. But let's assume I went to Hawaii and now I'm on the other side of the dateline. And I forgot which Shabbos is which. Right? Is Shabbos Friday, Shabbos, or Sunday? I don't know which day is which because my phone, you know, when the if our phones get messed over when the clocks change by 1 hour, think about what happens to our phones when, like, an entire day jumps. Or we forget our body clock, etc. So if I went on vacation, I crossed the date line, and now I had the wrong day. Do I need to have a kenas? Yes or no?
No.
So the Shevet HaLevi says that actually if you messed up, you do the kenas because of the date line, because you went on vacation, then for sure you do have a kenas apply. Well, maybe it's not, he wasn't discussing dafka clock. I'm saying that's part of, like, our thought process today that makes it so. If it's because, you know, you were going by your phone said it's Thursday and not Friday, that would be maybe a different discussion. But here, it's just saying, you got confused, jet lag, this and that, you forgot. Okay? Rav Moshe says that if you were at your, let's say you went to your parents' home, you generally light, but you forgot, but you were somech on the shulchan of someone else, then the knas wouldn't apply. But Rav Osner disagrees and says, in that case, the knas definitely would. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said that generally, if you generally light olive oil and wax candles, and then this week you only lit one and you forgot to do the other, like you generally, let's say, light six candles, and then 1 week you forgot you only lit two, the knas would not apply. And Bezrat Hashem, with that we just finished Hadlakas Neros Shabbos. If anyone has any questions, we can discuss any of the questions that come up with this after. And Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll start a new malacha, Erev Tov.